Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Shaina. Another first day of the week. We say shalom, shalom to those and everyone that's listening under the sound of my voice. I'm glad we were able to come together today. All praises to the Most High. I see Brother Donia. I done pushed one. Let me get his mic open. Shalom, shalom, Brother Donia. How are you today?
Shalom, shalom, Shaina. No, I'm told. I just wanted to know, who is that? Anita Baker?
Yes, that's Anita Baker.
Oh, man, she's a good, she could sing. She could really sing.
Yeah, she can. Yeah, that's Anita.
I love all her old songs. I don't know what the new ones are, but I love the old ones, man. I go down memory lane with her.
Yes, absolutely. You know what Malka told me today? She said that there are 7 hurricanes right now on the outside, at the Atlantic Ocean, that they don't know where they're going.
Oh, my goodness. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you know what they told me and what I heard? I heard that those hurricanes is coming from the coast of Africa.
Probably. They probably are. That is critical.
Yes, it
7 tropical hurricanes right now at this moment that are out there doing what they're doing. It says 7 Atlantic tropical systems to watch, including a long-term U.S. threat on a peak day of hurricane season. Sure do.
I told you that the Almighty did not fire a shot, and he got the ball rolling.
Joe did. He didn't even come. That is crucial. That is so crucial.
And the, all of these things, man, you can't kill this stuff with no bombs or anything like that, man. They got all this weaponry, and they can't do nothing about it, period.
Yes, that is really something else.
This is the hand of the Almighty, sister. This is not no joke. You understand?
No.
This is some serious business. If the Almighty told us something in that book, man, you can take it to the bank.
You better say that again. You know you preaching. I mean, for real, it is serious.
Yeah.
7 hurricanes, 7 of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It said Hurricane Sally is likely to form by this weekend. Tropical waves existing the coast of Guinea, Bissau in Africa, shows all the signs of being an incipient named storm. It says it's 90% odds of development of the wave in the next 5 days. A tropical depression is likely to form by this weekend or early next week. That's why it's going to be so cold next week, because of the storms and stuff.
Okay.
That's crucial. Well, I mean, here we go.
And the Almighty started this stuff off without firing a shot.
Yes, he did.
I'll
praise his be.
The Almighty, I want to know who it is, what it is.
They scared to death.
Yeah. You know they got an excuse to give the credit to the Almighty.
They don't even know where it's going.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah.
Absolutely. What a day it's going to be. Because he mean what he say.
Mm-hmm. Woo. Yep.
It's going to be something else. There's 7 of them out there brewing. 7.
Mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy. Woo. Like I said, we got to get our people ready to get out of here. That
well,
is something
is,
else.
It's a state of mind for me.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
You know, I gotta get my mindset on, man. This is, you know, ain't gonna be no whole lot of stuff that we have privilege to. You understand? You know, we gonna be on our own.
Mhm. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I gotta put it in my mind that's what's gonna happen. You understand?
Mm.
We gonna be on our own, and we gonna be trusted in the Almighty like we never trusted in Him before. What you did, you didn't cut me off? Hello?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Oh, I thought you cut me off.
No, I didn't. I was talking to my nephew, and I was just asking him to do something for me, so I didn't want you to hear me hollering.
Oh, don't worry about it. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Since we on the radio show, you know, I just didn't want everybody to be in my conversation, so that's when I mute my phone. But, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's time to get ready to get out of here. Praise God. Because every time you look around, something different is happening. First it was the fire, you know.
Well, it's working in conjunction with a lot of stuff. You understand?
Yes, it
the
is.
COVID,
yes.
The COVID thing that ain't stopped. We still infested with that disease. You understand? They done ratcheted up all of those those murders by police, and started doing more of them. They just did that to another young man. You understand what I'm saying? You know, these guys is the coolest people on the face of the earth, man. And we got to understand that. We got to know who we dealing with.
And you know what? Like I said, the dangerous part is this. Is that Yah is allowing these things to happen because they can only do what they're allowed to do. And then once he is set in motion, things are going to change drastically, and they're going to change very quickly. And it's just going to be a mess.
It's going to be a mess. You're right. It's going to be a mess.
And I heard a Hebrew Israelite group, and I'm not going to say no names, told their people, now listen to this, he told their people that Yah is not coming to get them until after the tribulation. And I'm like, that does not even add up, because they don't want to believe in the 400 years.
Oh.
Can you imagine the danger of telling people that kind of stuff?
Well, see, we can see what happened here. You understand? The Almighty gave us forewarning. He let us know that our punishment is up in 1619. That was evidence that it was not for anybody else but for us. Now, if we fast forward, during that particular time or right after that particular time, the Almighty said he was going to punish them folk. From 1619 to August, so sometime in August, you understand, is when the plague was put out on all the nations that said that held us captive. So we got to follow those patterns. Don't we think that, and this is not something that is a mystical, magical move. This is something that's tangible that we could see. You understand that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And so it's got to be the hand of the Almighty. It can't be nothing else.
And they still don't see it. They still, like you said, they'll explain it away like it's just bad weather, or they'll explain it away because it's a pandemic. They'll have a name for it, but at the end of the day, we know exactly what it is and what it means.
Absolutely. I don't know, you know, I guess eventually they'll get the message, but I think that's too little too late.
Absolutely. No question about it. So, I mean, you know, and now somebody sent me something in my email saying that the Jewish people are meeting with their Messiah. And it's like, oh, here we go. Here we go. So all this stuff is playing right into the play of how this is supposed to go down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, you know what, Sister Yaina, just my perspective, the only thing that I concern myself with is how the Almighty is treating his peoples and how he's opening up things and putting things in play for his people. So whatever anybody else does, it's always going to be for the restoration and the recovery of his people, nothing else. And they can do what the hell they want to do. It means absolutely nothing.
mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion, you know. Because mm-hmm. Almighty got to put us in place. If we ain't put in, if we don't get put in place, don't none of this stuff that they do mean anything.
No, that's true. That is so true. That is so very true. And you know, a lot of people are still listening to us. They're trying to figure out what's going on and how this is happening and what we need to do. It's a lot of people on this line right now that's taking all of this stuff in. And, you know, like I said, I know some of you all belong to these camps, but you better do some studying for yourself. Yeah, put that, you know, so it's going to work itself out, but we got to make sure, you know, that you know exactly what you're supposed to do.
Yep, that is absolutely correct.
You know?
And the only thing that I could say that we need to do is try to repent. So that we could be part of the kingdom of Yah, because He's getting ready to bring us into our land. He's getting ready. This don't happen overnight. You understand? And it's not going to be no magical, mystical pull. Remember now, if you can remember from the time that Abraham, that the Almighty spoke to Abraham, till today, it was events that had happened. You understand that brought us into this. We had to walk it out. You understand? You know, it wasn't no magical, mystical. I know people saying, "Well, we're in this captivity." You understand? But it wasn't no magical, mystical moment. Remember, we went through slavery, chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
In order to get where we are today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about that. That is the truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we move forward, you know, there, like I said, we, those people that are in these camps and things, you better start studying for yourself, because this is a decision that you're going to have to make. If this can't be something that no one else can make for you. You have to be able to make this decision and say, this is what I'm going to do for me and my family. Because if they make a way for us, well, not if, when the Most High makes a way for us to leave and go back to the land that He's taken us back to, you got to be on that. Because somebody to tell the people that you're not going back home until after the tribulation, and the scripture clearly says that the wilderness is going to be a 3.5-year stay, which is going to be the same amount of time as the tribulation, excuse me. I mean, how dangerous is that?
Okay. You understand? Remember
super
now,
dangerous.
It said that it's only going to be a third. I'm sorry to say that. We got to understand that, you understand, the decisions that you make, you understand, could knock you out, and you just become two-thirds of the people that's not going to make it. So you got to make sure you think it all the way through.
That's what I say. Make sure you get all the information that you need to work with before that decision is made, because you listen to these people, half of them don't believe in the scriptures and they don't read the scriptures and they precept and stuff that's not conducive to the scriptures, and it's going to really be difficult for you and your family to be stuck here as Hebrew Israelites trying to live in a controlled society where religion is going to be controlled, the money's going to be controlled, everything is going to be controlled. We're going through it right now with all the animated systems that we're dealing with just trying to function today. You don't never get to talk to a real person. You know, if you got to go through hell and high water to get a real person on the phone.
Yep.
Absolutely. Man, artificial intelligence done just took over.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary. You know that we going through that kind of stuff now. And if you don't have the right key card or the right information, they hang up on you.
That's correct.
And the scripture said you ain't going to be able to buy or sell except you had a mark. Well, guess what? They're going to be able to figure it out when you pick up the phone. You ordering your groceries over the phone now. You ordering your all your merchandise over the internet now. Everything is being controlled to the point where they control when you buy it and how you buy it. Most of the stores is closing down.
Okay. All right.
I mean, when you look at the places here, these stores are closing down because people are purchasing things online.
Yeah, that is correct.
And if you don't have the right credentials, you ain't going to get it. So this is a time to really get into these words and really begin to get all the information, see where they're coming from, and see what the scriptures actually say.
Absolutely.
Because you just can't, you can't go on what one person said. He told him, he said, there will be nothing done until after the tribulation. I mean, after, once the tribulation is over, then that's when he going to come and get his people and gather them from the four corners of the earth. I'm like, that's not what the scriptures say. You know? Scary stuff. So it's definitely something that we have to pay attention to. You know, and I don't know if everybody's going to vote. I don't have anything to say against that one way or the other. All I'm saying is, you know, do whatever you feel like you need to do. But my opinion, I don't think Trump's going anywhere. I could be wrong. I'm not always right. I really don't think that he's finished. Because to me, Biden did not, it's almost like he had to He had the burden of proof on him, and to me, they haven't done enough. I haven't even heard anything from them to make people say, okay. And the election is, what, 2 months away?
Yeah.
What
have
they done?
I don't like Biden, and I don't like Camilla, what's her name, whatever her name is, you understand? And the reason why I say Trump ain't going nowhere is because if this is part of the exodus, is this supposed to be the second exodus, you understand? And if it's anything like the first exodus, we had somebody that was over us, Pharaoh. You understand, with the countenance, that the same countenance that Trump got. He's an arrogant, narcissistic,
right.
A number of other, all of the negatives for sure. You
right.
Understand?
Right.
You know, and that's the same kind of person that the Pharaoh was. He said, "Man, get back to work. I'm your God."
That's right. Absolutely, no question about it. It's going to be a very serious time.
You understand? You know, so if I don't think that Trump is going to go anywhere, you understand? And if he don't go nowhere, and if the society lasts until 2024, it's going to be a mayhem. It's take of trouble. Take of trouble, Lord have mercy.
They already said Walmart in trouble. We was just listening to that a few minutes ago, that Walmart is in trouble. That it's dangerous times ahead.
Okay. I'm not sure that he's going anywhere. It was surprised the hell out of me. The Democrats is a bunch of homosexuals. They ain't got no backbone. You understand? Excuse me. They had Trump on the ropes. They had Trump on the ropes when they impeached, or supposed to have impeached him. They brought them two little articles of impeachment together, and he wiggled out of it.
And didn't have to go nowhere. They did all that, and he didn't even have to go nowhere.
Okay.
You know?
And see, the Mueller report gave them 10 articles of impeachment in his report. How come they didn't use them? Instead, they used that, he was on the phone with Ukraine, and he tried to buy Ukraine. Man, he wiggled out of that so smoothly, it's a shame. You know. They should have thrown everything but the kitchen sink at him. But they didn't.
Yeah,
absolutely. That would have gave me some. That would have made me feel that they are trying to do something. Then on top of that, they had Steve Mnuchin. They had him on the ropes, boy. He said he ain't giving up the paperwork on Trump's taxes. You understand? And it states explicitly in the in the article for them to be able to get those paperworks, they supposed to, they got to give those paperwork up or he go to jail or fine or both. They didn't do nothing to that boy. Nothing. Come on, man. You talking about this? Come on. You understand?
I'm saying here is
they got two sides of the same coin. Both of them, you understand, don't mean nothing. They're all after whatever position that they get, you understand, some money, whatever it is, you understand, that they can get out of it, that's what they after. The peoples
absolutely
have nothing to do with it. The peoples have nothing to do with it at all,
nope,
period.
That's true. That's true. Hold on, let me open up my area code 513. Sister Couture, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Y'all sound so good. Y'all need to keep in mind that only the Senate can convict. The House impeached him, but in order for him to be convicted and removed from office, the House had to do that, and Mitch McConnell was over the House. That's why they didn't throw him out of office.
Yeah, well. See, the thing is, he will out of it some kind of way. Even though he was impeached by the House, and the Senate didn't impeach him, he's still impeached.
Right, because
but he ain't going nowhere. He ain't out of the House.
Right, they're Republicans. Republicans rule the Senate, so he wasn't going anywhere. So
yeah,
they did what they can do.
Yeah, but they could have done better. They could have made it a little more tougher, you understand, when they brought them 10 articles that Mueller had put in his report. They could have brought all of them down on him, you understand?
But it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered because they had already did their part. They impeached him. He'll never stop being impeached. He will go down in history as being impeached. But Mitch McConnell had already said it wasn't going to go any further. So it didn't matter what they gave them. He wasn't going to do anything with it.
Well,
and did y'all hear that the prosecutor over the Breonna Taylor case just married Mitch McConnell's granddaughter?
No, I hadn't heard that.
Yep. He just, maybe a couple of weeks ago, he just married her. So you can't expect anything to go forward with that.
Well, the only reason why I said, the only reason why I said what I said is that I would have felt much more comfortable with the Democratic Party if they had brought all of those charges on them. You understand? They would not have been taking a chance. That look here, you know what they do when they arrest you? They put lottery. Wait a minute. They put lottery. You know, they put all kinds of charges on them. You understand? Hoping that one of them stick, one of them get you. You understand? But they open up the door for a whole lot of stuff. You understand? Resisting arrest. You understand? You know, or he crossed the street. You understand? At the wrong time of the light and all of that. They bring all of those charges on you, but they only want one to stick. Period. And so I would have, I would have felt more comfortable. Or I would have felt like the Democratic Party is doing a better job, or doing a good job, or they working on it. They're working on their recovery because the Democratic Party has always been soft. You understand?
But
and
you
so,
know they had the same. But, the Republicans had the same information the Democrats had. They were aware of the Mueller report.
Yeah, but that doesn't make no difference whether they're aware of it or not. It's the Democratic was the one that was bringing the charges. You understand?
They did their job. They impeached him, but they couldn't remove him from office. Only the Senate could do that.
Yeah, but what you're saying here is that they had two pieces of article of chargement. You understand? On him. Period. But they had 10 charges that they could have brought. They could have brought.
Would it have made any difference?
I believe it would have. I really do believe it would have.
But if they impeached him on the two charges.
Hear me out. they got the answer to each one of those charges. And all they need is one good or two good ones. You understand what I'm saying? See, what they was trying to do is win a few of the Republican Party members. I think it was six of them, you understand, to be on their side when they make that decision. You understand? So they may have been able to get those six. You understand? But they only brought two of the charges. You understand? That was the one about Ukraine, you understand, and something else that he lied about or something. That they got him for that. You understand? But that's neither here nor there, because we can't do nothing about that now. You understand?
True.
But I'm just saying that the Democratic Party, soft. You understand? And
I agree with you. Yeah, they are soft.
Yeah. And see, the other thing, another thing here is that every time we've been voting in this society since, for 200 years, let's just say, for 200 years, what have we gained? We haven't gained anything. And each time that they ask us to vote, this is the most important vote that you could ever make in the history. They always tell you that. We never get
anything.
Yeah,
we've made some changes. We've made some changes. The Voting Rights Act. We got the Civil Rights
Act. Voting Rights Act. Hold on.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be killed on the way to the polls.
Look here. The Voting Rights Act right here, right now, today, is having a problem right now. Right now. You understand? They're having a problem with the Voting Rights Act today.
It's still in effect.
But how does
I know
that
they're
happen?
Trying to remove it. Yeah, I know they're trying to remove it, but as of right now, it's still in effect.
Okay. I'm saying that we ain't got nothing out of that deal at all. Oh, the whole 400, every time we vote, we don't get nothing. We get nothing.
Now, you know we ain't supposed to, technically.
And one other thing I want to say here, too, is if they got a policy or they got something that they're trying to implement, do you think that we're supposed to know? Shouldn't we, as a voter, know that, you know, the agenda of the black folks? What is our agenda? What is our agenda? What do we expect?
Now, you know that we ain't really supposed to. I'm basically playing the devil's advocate. But you know we ain't supposed to get nothing out of this country, because if we got comfortable, we never want to leave.
Well, that's true. But I'm saying, the reason why I said that, what I said, is because they expect us to vote every year. The only people that gain anything is the ones that's running for office. They get a boost in paper, you understand, and they get a boost in the office. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get nothing out of the deal, but they want us to rush down there and vote. I'm not doing that. I'm sick of that. Show me something. You understand? Bring me. Look here. Do something for me first if you want my vote. Because once we vote, it's over with. We don't have nothing to look forward to.
I can't argue with you.
I'm going to let them do their thing. I know, look here, if I vote or if I don't vote, you understand, it's not going to help us at all as a people. I'm telling you. You understand? And see, what the thing is, they knew what they was doing when they got a two-party system.
Well, you know, they said the reason why we only have a two-party system is because of the Electoral College. It can only cast two votes. Either they're going to vote for the Republican or the Democrat. You can't be a socialist, independent, or anything else, because it's only the Electoral System only has a choice between two parties.
And then that was a farce, because the way I understood the Electoral College is that they can only come into play if the popular vote has a problem. That's when the Electoral College has an opportunity to make a difference. You understand? In the
mm-hmm.
vote.
But that's what messed up, because technically.
I, I think Obama used it, man. I seen it on TV where each state voted, you understand? The state of California, they voted yay, you understand? We have 200 members of the Electoral College. Then they went to the next one and they voted yay or whatever. You understand? But the Electoral College should not have been able to come into play unless you have a problem with the popular vote, period.
Well, it was only supposed to even be there to cast for the, because, you know, we're only 3/4 of a human, and the North and the South got in an argument over why they're not counting the black vote. They wanted their slaves counted. So they said that we're only 3/5 of a human, so they calculated somehow the percentage of black people that would be counted in the total vote. Because Hillary Clinton actually won the election, but the Electoral College went for Trump.
Yeah, that is correct. That's why I say that, you know, they've been cheating all along, because Obama went through the Electoral College. They've been using the Electoral College fraudulently, because it was only supposed to set up in case they had a problem with the popular vote. They didn't have no problem with the popular vote in either one of those cases, Obama or Trump.
You understand? Yep.
You know, so this system right here, well, you understand, it's all coming down. You understand? No
doubt. It really
is,
yeah.
It's almost
it's time on the way to out.
Over with. Yes, it is.
Yep,
and it's just raggedy. You can tell because it's raggedy as I don't know what.
Yeah.
Ain't
it?
Girl. Because them fires in California ain't playing. They purifying California.
Okay.
Yeah.
Making you wonder what's up. For real, it's getting ugly.
They say it looks like a nuclear blast hit it. The whole state is orange.
That is correct.
That's what I heard.
That is correct. They showed it on the TV. You understand?
Yeah.
You know, and I was just getting ready to say, you understand, when that dark, that great day of darkness is going to come for 24 hours. And I was saying I could see that happening, you understand, because the whole sky in California is orange and all of these particles is in the air, you understand? And they lightening on stuff, man, you understand, you know? And it's a mess, man. And I could see that the way that this stuff is going to transpire, man. That great day of darkness.
Well, you know, not only California, but I think they say Oregon and Washington State, they also getting affected by them fires.
That is correct. It's affecting all of those, man. Colorado, you understand, all of them areas around that California is affected. You understand?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's getting ready to get real ugly. You understand? You know, that affects, you know, Colorado. I mean, California got, you know, orange groves. Ain't that California?
Yes. A lot of our food comes from California.
Ooh-wee. You understand? So, you know, we got to do the best. We got to do more better, you understand, by putting away our groceries, man, because we don't know how this stuff going to fall out, man.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You can eat, man, at least. You understand? I got some beans. I got some rice. You understand? I got some flour. I keep the flour in the refrigerator so no bugs don't get in it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You know, I don't need no sugar because I'm not supposed to eat that no way. You understand? But it's getting ready to get real. You understand? If you didn't believe in the Almighty before all of this stuff started, you got reason to believe in him now, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they talking about down in New Orleans, they supposed to be getting hit by a tornado or something.
Yeah.
The weather is real bad down there, too.
Yep. And if... And New Orleans don't need no rain or anything like that, because they subject to have a dam break or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understood, that they did not do a thorough job on redoing them dams. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I heard that
now.
Too.
Yeah. And if New Orleans flood,
they said they never did finish rebuilding New Orleans. A lot of it's still messed up.
That is correct. Absolutely.
Mm-mm. And China's still flooded, so they ain't getting no food. They trying to buy it from the U.S.
Yeah. And, you know, what they're trying to do, they're trying to take Africa. Because their system is they overpopulated, you understand, and they and they never really had any kind of a system for groceries at all. Period. You understand?
Right.
You understand? And so they ain't got a whole lot of food going on, and they trying to take over Africa. You understand? You know, and the leaders of Africa is allowing them to do that.
They paid off.
Yeah. That's sad. You
and I was watching.
I was
watching Dr. Seraki Moonbai. She tells you about Africa and everything on YouTube. And she said they're trying to put China trying to build military bases now in Africa.
Yep. That is correct. That is absolutely correct. And see them African leaders, those so called leaders, man, they won't have to pay. Almighty don't let nobody get away. Nobody gets away. Period. I don't care who you think you are. Yeah. And he's our Elohim. Now all we got to do is try to do the best you can about staying as close to the Almighty as you possibly can. You
absolutely.
He understands where we at. We in captivity. We in a captive state.
Right.
I know nobody likes to hear you say, oh, he understands this and that. The Almighty understands, man. Let's not play him short. You understand?
Yeah.
He knows
well,
we in
what?
A captive
I want
state.
Go ahead. I want you to hear what they said about Walmart. Check this out.
It surged, rallied about 6% in the pre-market. Then it gave it back. What was the initial impression that people had, and then what afterwards did people sort of realize perhaps was not so great?
Thanks for having me. When the results were announced this morning, they had an amazing quarter, which is why the stock rallied in pre-market. All of the numbers were good. Same-store sales were up 9.3%. Ticket was up. E-commerce was through the roof. But as we started to hear from management, really it was that they were flagging, they were showing concern about the sustainability of that pace of sales as we move into third quarter and fourth quarter of this year. And that really ties back to what you were talking about with the stimulus spending.
So we talk about, I mean, when we saw these results out of Walmart, and we've seen this with other of the big retailers here, Jennifer, they've not only benefited from the rise in sales that we saw, but there was actually considerable margin improvement. Was that margin improvement because of cost controls, or was that also just tied to that just outsized gain in sales?
A lot of that margin improvement was due to the outsized gain in sales. They have done a very good job of controlling costs, so Walmart did some corporate restructuring. Other retailers have done the same sort of thing to really try to keep costs as tightly reined in as possible. But when you have such big sales, it really does provide you with a lot of operating leverage and does benefit margins.
What, therefore, next? As we do see still a struggling of any sort of stimulus deal to be agreed upon over in Washington or virtually in Washington, I'm interested as to what can really stimulate the continued growth for Walmart if it can't be checks sent in the post. Are people really going to splash out on going back to school at the moment when many people aren't even going back to school?
Yeah, back to school is a big question for Walmart right now, and I think that there will be good spending. It's just that it's not going to be the same way that we would typically think. So people aren't buying backpacks and they're not buying school supplies because there is this concern that kids are going to end up learning from home for a lot longer than we thought. But instead, some of that money will go into technology, so updated laptops, monitors, things that they didn't necessarily buy at the end of last school year because they thought they were just going to get through a few months, but now looking at a long semester ahead may decide that they need to upgrade their equipment.
Jennifer, to some extent, Walmart is a type of company that can thrive in multiple economic cycles. So when we're on an upswing, more people are spending, and when things are slowing down, well, perhaps more people want to shop at Walmart because they have low prices. If even Walmart itself is seeing the impacts of this lag where unemployment insurance, that expansion has gone away, is it reasonable to assume that other retail players may be feeling it even worse, places that don't necessarily benefit from the discount, the desire of people to buy at a discount?
You make a very good point in that Walmart really does do well in any economy. The one thing I would say is that even though same-store sales, they said in July, decelerated to 4%, that's still higher than their average, which is just around 3% in the last year, year and a half. And so even with a slowdown, they're still running at a higher pace. And I think that that's what we're looking forward through the end of the year with Walmart, is that they have that capability to outpace peers in the field. So with your question, yes, I think there are retailers out there who aren't as value-focused as Walmart that may suffer more as the economy, as spending slows down, and especially on the discretionary side.
Well, what about with the shift, though, that we saw, Jennifer, with regards to folks buying more stuff online, doing buy online and pick up in store? Walmart, of course, had already been investing pretty heavily in that model prior to the pandemic. We know that Amazon was a beneficiary of that, and we started to see a lot of other retailers, though, make that investment in an effort to keep up with the Amazons and Walmarts of the world. Is there any real competition there for those two companies with regards to that model?
Well, certainly Target has to come into the mix, and they have their earnings tomorrow, so we'll see if there's a good read-through from Walmart with regards to Target and their results. But it is true. It's the companies that have been investing in the last 12, 18 months into an omni-channel strategy that are the ones that were able to reap the rewards. And other players who are just starting to invest now may find that they're ceding shares that is difficult to regain because, especially with online shopping, once people start a pattern, it's harder to break that pattern and win them back. So we think that that's going to play a very important part of the overall strategy.
All right, there it is. What they're saying is that people are starting to buy their stuff online now, and it's going to mess up the retail stores. And we have a multiple amount of resale stores here that are literally closing down. I mean, mm-hmm. it's kind of scary mm-hmm. with the stores that we got. You know, New York and Company closed down. What is that other place over in Oakley next to TJ Maxx, that store that everybody was buying out of? I can't think of the name of it. They closed down. I think Catherine's has closed down. It's a lot of stores that are
Catherine's,
closed.
Girl.
Yeah, Catherine's closed down.
I love Catherine's.
They closed. Online shopping only. They gone. And what is the name of that store over there in TJ, over in Oakley, in Rookwood, right next to TJ Maxx? It's a big store. What is the name? I can't think of it for nothing. But they're closing down. They got a big sign out saying they're closing for good because people are just starting to shop online. And it's gonna be a ripple effect. And when I was in Walmart today, I was looking at the school supplies. It's still full of school supplies, uniforms, everything.
Uh-huh.
People are not buying them. They're not buying
them. They didn't get to use the supplies they had yesterday. I mean, last year.
Last year,
because my nieces got all their stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be kind of tight for 2021. It's going to be real tight. They said that U.S. is facing an eviction crisis, that people are getting evicted because they don't have any more protection with the government and the eviction market. They just don't have it. I mean, they don't have. If you have a job today, consider yourself to be blessed, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And
okay,
I work
yeah.
in mortgage. And the only reason why I think that we're really at capacity is because people are refinancing their houses because of the interest rate is so low. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Mm. And, you know, I know a lot of people who own property and they renting out. They evicting people. And my theory is why? You're evicting these people. There's nobody who rent from you. If times
right.
get bad enough, people going to break in your property,
yep,
steal your
true.
Copper, steal your appliances. It's better just mm-hmm. to keep somebody in there.
That is correct.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
they want them out.
And not to mention how high rent is. Rent is so, it's ridiculous. I mean, the rent a house
yeah.
now, you paying $1,500. Easy.
Yep.
Easy.
Yep. And I had paid my, I paid Duke, the energy company, over the phone. And a recording came on and said a moratorium to, you know, they was, for a while, they weren't turning off your stuff. They were letting you know
mm-hmm.
now it's ending. They're back to turning off your stuff.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's so stupid, I'm telling you, boy. they running this country into the ground on their stupidity.
Wow, that is so scary.
And you know something that
I
really love? You know, they didn't mind wearing masks when they was riding on us with those burning crosses. Now, all of a
mm-hmm.
sudden, they can't wear a mask.
No,
yeah,
no,
okay.
That's the truth.
That's why this pandemic gonna last till the end of time, because nobody wants to wear masks. They, you know, I think that's only the right thing to do. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if they were trying to save the society, then if they follow the instructions that they have, there's a chance that they can get a handle on it. They ain't going to get no handle if nobody don't wear no mask, for sure.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Why
that's
the other countries say they don't want America there. We nasty. We ain't coming there not wearing masks and killing them. Stay home.
Okay.
It says the unraveling of America is this the end of America?
Yep.
That's crucial. That is
yep.
critical. Do you hear me? This is
yeah.
well. Hold on. Let me do this real quick. Hold on. Check this out. Let's check it out.
In July 2020, an estimated 32% of Americans missed a rent or mortgage payment. That was up from 24% in April, 31% in May, and 30% in June. This trend is worrying experts that a wave of evictions may be coming once local, state, and federal moratoria on forced removals expire.
The eviction process itself is a barrier to maintaining personal and public health.
Struggling to pay for housing in America is nothing new. In 2018, the Census Bureau estimated that 40.6% of renters were rent burdened, meaning they spent 35% or more of their monthly income on rent and utilities. A study by Harvard University's Joint Center for Housing Studies found that about a quarter of households spent more than half their income on housing.
They're frequently having to choose between paying for food or paying for housing, and the rent always eats first.
The Urban Institute found that about a quarter of Black and Latinx renters surveyed didn't pay or deferred their rent in May 2020, compared to 14% of white renters.
The rents are like out of control. I mean, people can't even afford to live in these cities anymore, and these are people who have good jobs.
No pagué mi renta por cubrir todo lo demás y he estado sin dormir pensando y pensando. What is going to happen when everything is opened again y se desaparezca la ayuda? What's going to happen? Am I going to make the same money as I was making before?
With the growing uncertainty over financial stability and the idea that mass evictions may be looming, how do evictions actually work? And could the U.S. cancel rent? From 2000 to 2016, there were almost 1 million evictions per year in the United States, meaning that about 1 in 40 renter households were evicted per year.
In 2016, we saw 3.7 million eviction filings, which is comes to about 7 eviction filings per minute. These are experiences that we're hearing about across the country right now. It is not just a red or a blue state issue. It's not just an urban issue.
Along with systemic racism, rising rents and home prices, stagnant wages, gentrification, and a decline in public and subsidized housing are contributing to this very complex problem.
The great migration states, so in the South, Midwest, and Rust Belt, these are often the hotspots of eviction, and that's very much tied to the legacy of slavery and racial discrimination in housing.
There you have it. It's getting ready to get ugly. When I tell you ugly, I told you 2021 is going to be rough. It's going to be rough.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Global pandemic and a polarized political
landscape, you might wonder if the age of American exceptionalism is coming. Well, it's coming to an end, baby. Our next guest. Hold on. I want you to hear this real quick, and then we're going to come back.
Wade Davis believes that it is. He's professor of anthropology at the University of British Columbia. On the streets, a global pandemic, and a polarized political landscape, you might wonder if the age of American exceptionalism is coming to an end. Our next guest, Wade Davis, believes that it is. He's professor of anthropology at the University of British Columbia, and in a recent article for Rolling Stone, he wrote about how COVID-19 signals, quote, the unraveling of America. And here he is talking to Ahari Srinivasan about how even great empires have their day.
Jesus.
Thanks, Christian.
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I had to stop that for him. Did you hear what he said? That it's because of COVID-19 and the other things that's going on that America, the era of America, is coming to an end. It says, is this the end of the American empire?
Western culture. The Western empire. That's what it's going to be. The whole anybody that's affiliated with the Western culture, Western America, the EU, and France, and all of that stuff, you understand, is going down,
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
That's
true. I had a friend that told me a long time ago when that 400 years hit. All hell was breaking loose, and he said, if you think I'm playing, time 20 by 20 and see what you get. 20 times 20 is 400.
Okay.
So you could tell it. Your day is up. You can't run. You could claim you black. You could claim anything you want. You could run into those bunkers in the mountains. You can't hide. Your day is up.
That is correct.
That is absolutely incredible. Hold on. I got to hear what he had to say. I'm just going to just a little bit of this because this is 18 minutes long. I'm not going to play it that much, but hold on just a second. Here we go.
Wade Davis, thanks for joining us. This has been a popular concern among critics of the president, this idea that the American empire is unraveling. And I want to start with just a little quote from the essay that you had penned for Rolling Stone. And you said in there, no empire long endures, even if few anticipate their demise. Every kingdom is born to die. The 15th century belonged to the Portuguese, the 16th to Spain, 17th to the Dutch. France dominated the 18th, and Britain the 19th. Why?
What about Persia and Iran?
This is the end of the American empire or the American era.
Well, I think, you know, obviously that's not something I'm looking forward to. And I think if the era does slip away, we're going to be very nostalgic for it, particularly if the weight of history moves to China with that political structure. I was really at this piece trying to look at it through the cultural lens. You know, it's interesting. The arguments have always been about morbidity and mortality as if it was a medical story. You know, at one side saying that these figures are really desperately terrible, the other side saying, oh, we're exaggerating, and so on. And it struck me that the real issue was what this pandemic meant in this moment of time. You know, the Black Death, of course, changed European history by wiping out half the population of Europe and transforming the economy. But we also have had other pandemics. I mean, my own grandfather died in the Spanish flu in 1919. Millions of people died. Yet that didn't shake history because it happened in a time when the world was already numb from death, you know. And people forget that, for example, in the summer of Woodstock, when 500,000 kids swam around together in the heart of New York State, there was a major Hong Kong outbreak that left people in Berlin storing corpses in subway stations because the hospitals got overrun. So what's different now? I think what's different now is, first, obviously, the global reach of both technology to disseminate the story and the global reach of travel to disseminate the virus. Remember that when Woodstock happened, the vast majority of Americans had never taken a commercial flight. So these two things have come together, and it's created changes in our lives, but people are always adapting. You know, we're always dancing with new possibilities for life. We'll get used to working from home. We'll get used to having theaters shutter, restaurants, this and that. And, you know, the economic challenge will hover over the economy, but unless there's a total collapse, we'll be all right on that front as well. But what has changed is the absolutely astonishing impact this had on the reputation of the United States and the myth of American exceptionalism. Here we were, a nation with 2,000 people dying a day, discovering that we were living kind of in a failed state, ruled by a kind of a dysfunctional government, led by someone who clearly intellectually could not even begin to understand the significance of what was happening all around him.
So is the critique more about the specific government response and perhaps the president than it is about America in general? I mean, are those two the same?
No, they're not. I think, you know, I think I say in the article that the election of President Trump in 2016 was not a symptom or a cause of decline. It was an indication of the intensity of the descent, in a sense. You know, we forget what's become of America. And again, I want to stress this, that, you know, I've often described, since this piece went viral, as a Canadian commenting on America. I married an American. I became a naturalized American. I love America. I got my education there. My entire career could never have happened in Canada. My own son-in-law is serving on active duty in the U.S. forces right now overseas. So
you're saying this, what, out of love?
Yeah, it's, you know what I think it is? It's like a family intervention. You know, if you have an intervention, the first thing you have to do is hold the mirror to the person to show you where they've gotten to. And one of the most remarkable correlations of this whole crisis is to look at the difference in performance between the true social democracies of the world, whether it's Canada, New Zealand, Denmark, or the Scandinavian nations, compared to the United States. And, you know, I've also had some criticism of this article by Canadians who keep saying, oh, it's not so great in Canada. Well, of course it's not so great in Canada. We're no perfect place. But the data is the data. And on July 30th, when the United States announced 59,979 new cases of COVID, in all of British Columbia, there were 5 COVID patients in the hospitals. The measure of success in a civilized nation is not the currency accumulated by the lucky few, but the strength of social relations and the bonds of reciprocity that sort of bind everybody one way or another into a common purpose. I mean, people in the United States just forget what they did. They saved civilization. The Ford Motor Company made more industrial output than Italy. You know, we were popping out Liberty ships 2 a day. The record for building a Liberty ship was 4 days, 29 hours and 17 minutes from scratch. You know, I mean, literally industrial might of America, together with the blood of Russian soldiers, literally saved civilization.
All right, there you have it. You hear what he said, didn't you? The stuff that we've been preaching the whole time, you know, like that this is coming to an end, and it's right there in front of us every day to see this happening. And everybody can see the handwriting on the wall, but the people, for some reason.
You know, you hear what he said? He said all the nations were set up to fall. You understand? And guess what he mentioned? He mentioned all those European nations. He didn't mention Persia in them. He didn't mention Damascus. He didn't mention none of those. He only mentioned European nations.
Yeah.
You understand? And that lets you know that the Western cultures is about to crash, and anywhere that they at, if be they in Africa, you understand their leaders have sucked up to the white, to the European cultures, you understand. France is over there in Africa, you understand. You got the Chinese definitely over there in Africa, you understand. You got the British, and you got the United States, all of the, and you got Russia in Africa. You understand? Mm-hmm. Trying to get the minerals and stuff out of Africa. You understand? And lead them. And in fact, you understand? They destroyed half of Africa right now, digging for gold and silver and precious jewels and all of that kind of stuff. You understand? It's a mess here, man. But the Almighty, nobody wins out this mess but the Almighty and His people. That's the only one.
He says it's almost over.
Yep. It ain't won't be too much longer. If we have to stick around to 2024, it's gonna be rough on black folks. I'm gonna tell you that right now. You understand, you know. because they trying to put stuff in place, man, to keep us from getting ahead of them.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be real interesting.
Jobs they used to stick their nose up at. Now they want them.
Mm-hmm. Sure do. Cause it's about survival. You know, everybody know now. You got to get into the mode of survival. You know, and like they said, you should have seen. I think Malcolm was telling me about this man that had this house in California. He doing everything in his power to try to save a house, some brick and stuff, while fires is burning around it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just ridiculous how people are so hell-bent on material things, you know, and people running for their lives and stuff. These people are not going to be able to handle the empire of America going down. They just not.
Yep.
But just like they said before, you cannot have a one-world government and a superpower at the same time. One has got to relinquish for the other one to exist. And the Bible said it's going to be a one-world government, a superpower, which is going to reign in the last days. And this is, man, this is off the chain.
You know, I remember when I was a little girl, my older relatives would tell us, during the Depression, when the stock market crashed and white people started losing their homes and cars and everything, she said you couldn't walk down the street without one of them jumping out the window. That's why black folks got to the point we was walking in the middle of the street.
Oh, okay.
Wow, over stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we tell everybody, you better listen to y'all. You better get ready. Because the Jacob's time was coming, and it wasn't going to be like no other time.
Yep.
You said your heart was going to fail for what your eyes were going to see. And I couldn't put that into words, what he was talking about. I see it now. I see it now. They were saying when the COVID was real high in New York, the buzzards, the skies over New York was full of buzzards because they could smell the dead people.
Wow. Well, that's all I can say on that matter. That is off the chain. If you guys want to watch that in its entirety, it's called The Unraveling of America. And there's a colon, and it says, "Is this the end of the American Empire?" And they put it up 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
It's 18 minutes and 16 seconds long. The Unraveling of America. There's a colon, and it says, "Is this the end of the American Empire?"
Yep, it's the end. It's the end.
That is crucial.
Okay, nothing save you. But you can't call on Yah. You ain't his. He said he don't know you.
That's crucial. Ain't that crucial?
So, Yaina, when does Yom Kippur start?
Move to New York.
Hold on. What you say? I'm sorry. Say again.
Now, when does Yom Kippur start?
Tonight at 8. We're going to meet on the conference call at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And we're going to kick it off, and then we'll be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock to end it. So that's when we're going to have our Feast of the Day of Atonement.
Okay.
And now they saying New York is over. Check this out, man. These people are saying New York is dead forever. Hold on, let me see.
Forever. That is the title of a recent op-ed by author and entrepreneur James Altucher, who writes this, quote, "I love New York City. When I first moved to New York City, it was a dream come true. Now it's completely dead. But New York City always bounces back. No. Not this time. But New York City is the center of the financial universe. Opportunities will flourish here again. No, not this time. New York City has experienced worse. No, it hasn't." Joining me right now is the author himself, James Altucher. James, thanks very much for being here. You are a longtime New Yorker, and you love this city, but you've left. Why do you think New York City is dead and won't come back?
Well, Maria, first off, thanks for having me on the show. Second, right now there's a major problem. Tax revenues are going down. deficits are going up. Something like a third or more of restaurants and small businesses might already be permanently closed in New York City. Apartment vacancies are an all-time high, and they're going to get higher. Something like 1 in 4 residents have not been paying rent since March, and who knows, you know, how many more vacancies there will be. And the city has already even said the deficits are so high they're going to have to start laying off critical employees like the EMTs who are frontline workers, teachers, police, garbage collectors, MTA workers. This is a serious problem. You can't run a city with your revenues going down and deficits going up and all the citizens leaving. And I haven't left permanently. I'm coming back. I have kids in school in the city. I want the city to recover, but I don't see how it physically happens when every business is closing and many citizens are leaving.
Now,
Jerry Seinfeld is taking you to task. The comedian is slamming you in the New York Times, writing this. You say New York will not bounce back this time. You will not bounce back in your enervated, pastel-filled new life in Florida. I hope you have a long, healthy run down there. I can't think of a more fitting retribution for your fine article. This stupid virus will give up eventually, the same way you have. We're going to keep going with New York City, if that's all right with you, and it sure will as hell. It will sure as hell come back. You're out with a new op-ed today with your response. What do you make of Jerry Seinfeld pushing back at you?
Well, I mean, I clearly he's, you know, loves the city and is concerned about any criticism, but I don't know why he had to personally attack me. I live in New York City as a permanent resident, and I wanted to do well, but the facts are the facts. Again, apartment vacancies are at an all-time high, not temporary high. People have left permanently. People are moving companies are getting, they can't even respond to all the calls. And buildings, office buildings are empty. Even though people are allowed to go back to the office, many companies are going remote permanently. That means declining taxes. The restaurant closings means declining tourism, which also means declining revenues for the city. Deficits, again, are going through the roof because of the virus, understandably. So, I don't know why Seinfeld had to be personal in his attack. Like, he doesn't know me at all, but instead, I'm focused on what could the solutions be, and let's look at the facts of what the problems are.
Well, you heard that, didn't you?
New York City is going down.
So his feelings hurt. He thinks people could continue to pay $5,000 a month to rent office space when they can't afford to pay their employees. They done laid off their employees, but they're going to keep paying $5,000 a month for rent, and the employees are paying $2,000 a month for an efficiency apartment, and you think they can keep paying $2,000 a month?
That's
what I'm
saying.
Crazy.
Yep.
You got to see the handwriting on the wall. It's plain and simple.
Yeah, efficiency apartment going for $1,500. You know what efficiency apartment is? That's a kitchen and a bedroom.
And a small toilet.
Yeah.
It says last month. Listen, y'all. It says last month, New York City hit 13,000 empty apartments. 13,000. CNBC said New York, hold on, I'm going to let you hear for yourself, 13,000 empty apartments in New York City. They cannot survive. I told y'all we best get ready because it's getting ready to get ugly. And yes, y'all said Jacob shall be saved out of it, but boy, check it out.
New leases in Manhattan falling 23% over the last year, rents falling by 10%. That was the largest decline in history. But the most troubling sign right now for the nation's largest rental market is the number of empty apartments. There are now 13,000 apartments listed for rent in Manhattan. That is an all-time high and more than double last year's total. Now, this is especially bad news for New York since July and August are usually the strongest month for rentals as families prepare to go to school. It is still expensive in Manhattan. The average one-bedroom rents for $3,500 a month. But with so many people leaving the city, landlords are now offering an average of 1.7 months of free rent just to get tenants. Now, about half of all apartments in Manhattan are owned by small business owners. And without the rent, they may be unable to pay their workers and property taxes. And since property taxes in New York are the largest source of revenue, these rental declines could start to affect services, which, Rahel, could affect the attractiveness of New York and lead to even fewer rentals. So it's a bit of a spiral right now.
That's interesting. And then, Robert, I would also imagine that for these small business owners, especially if you have fewer tenants, it becomes obviously harder to pay your mortgage.
Pay your mortgage, and there's some forbearance there, but the big issue is on the city revenues and the workforce and the entire economy in New York that is built on real estate. It's sales, it's rentals, it's management. It really probably is the first or second most important industry. And so financially, for a city that's facing a $10 billion deficit, this is getting to be a problem.
And I have to wonder, before I let you go, Robert, is this something that you expect to be perhaps short-term, or is this something that might be long-term? You know, anecdotally speaking, I know a lot of friends in the city who are talking about leaving, and they have no plans on returning.
Initially everyone thought this was temporary, maybe for the spring and maybe the summer. Now more and more people are putting their kids in school in the Hamptons, in Connecticut, in the Hudson Valley. And so, you know, about a half million people left. What you asked is the big question. How many of those 500,000 people will return to New York City? And we just don't know yet.
There you have it.
You know, I was talking, my niece, she's 17. It's her senior year, so she's been staying with me for a while. I told her a long time ago, she can't stay with me because I got to go to work. But since I'm working from home, she's been staying with me. I just sent her home because Yom Kippur is coming. And I know she can't fast, and she knows she can't stay off that computer and phone. So you can't stay here. But before she left, you know, whenever the show, the Yehuda came on, the show come on, I blasted through my house. This my house. I do what I want to do. And apparently she's been listening because she was on the computer in the chat room with her friends, and they were talking about they wanted to go shopping and stuff. And I heard her say, "Are you crazy? Do you realize we going through a recession? You better keep your money while you can." I was like, "Oh my God, she's listening."
Yeah.
This is getting serious.
I can't get over $3,500 for a one-bedroom apartment.
One-bedroom? Who can pay that now? I mean, realistically.
Oh, that's Fab House Notes where I live at.
Oh, well. You know what? People getting smart. They like put on that, we can go pay this and get a big house somewhere down in the Midwest. I mean, yeah, in the Mideast, and do what we need to do.
Oh, yeah.
We can live good off of it and not have to pay this much money.
And you see these cars are just laying on the lot, rusting, because ain't nobody buying them. Ain't nobody renting cars or nothing. My little hoopy, I'm going to keep that. It's 17 years old. If I have to hook it to a mule, I'm keeping that.
I understand.
Wow. Oh, y'all got to hear this, and then we're gonna wrap up the videos, but I want you to hear this. Check this out.
Building occupancy rate in the country, and now most of the city's skyscrapers sit empty. The question is, how long will it stay that way? It's an eerie feeling, standing at the corner of Folsom and Beale, staring at an empty office building that sits across from an empty row of brand new luxury condos. It makes you wonder, is all this emptiness driving prices down everywhere? That wasn't the case for newlyweds Jason and Stephanie Hicks.
You know, severely over asking, probably $400,000 over asking.
In the midst of the pandemic, embracing permanent work from home schedules, the two are leaving Soma, hoping for a better value in Alameda.
We fell in love with this house. It was a beautiful house right kind of in downtown Alameda. And we learned that 85 folks were very interested in the same property, which was kind of scary.
85 offers.
85 offers, yeah. Yeah. It was crazy.
In this case, a seller's market in Alameda. But real estate agents Neil and Daryl Canlis of the Canlis Brothers say in San Francisco,
property values have taken a little bit of a hit, but there are pockets. There are certain areas to where they're stronger than others.
One pocket hit the hardest, South Beach. 147 luxury condos are on the market, according to an ABC7 analysis of real estate data.
Comparing it to the past 5 years is really unheard of.
In just the last 2 days, 25 people posted on the South Beach Next Door feed. They are moving out of their San Francisco condos, citing everything from work from home, high costs, to there's nothing to do.
It's all about supply and demand.
There's plenty of supply in SoMa, South Beach, and Mission Bay. Of the more than 1,300 active listings in San Francisco, nearly one-third are in those areas. With inventory high, prices are taking a slight dip. Before COVID, the average listing price for a two-bedroom condo in South Beach was around $1.95 million. Now the average price has dipped down $30,000 to $1.92 million. For one bedroom, that average price is only down $15,000.
We will continue to see a bigger vacancy rate because people don't need to live in the city.
No need to live or work in the city, as some companies are gone for good. We know that from San Francisco's building vacancy rate. ABC7's data analysis shows at the end of last year, it was 5.4%. Now it's close to 10%, comparable to what other major cities are seeing, like Seattle and Boston.
Yeah, it seems probably much worse than it actually is.
But if you ask Robert Sammons, a senior researcher with commercial real estate group Cushman & Wakefield, most companies are still keeping their leases.
Most of these spaces, most of these buildings have leases in place, long-term leases in place from very well-funded companies for the most part. So, you know, that's the good side of it.
The tough side. Not all of the 7,500 companies leasing building space in the city and county are well-funded. The real question is, how much longer will those tenants last?
That's the tough question. You know, without a vaccine, without other things in place, we just don't know.
There you have it. Y'all, it's getting ugly. I told you that this was coming. That's why I said we have been on this radio show for years telling people to store up food and water. Don't stop listening to us. Don't stop storing up. Keep doing what you're doing because it is going to get worse.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of the companies, I know Malka's company, they told them they wouldn't be back for 2020 at all and that they were still looking at 2021. Because they can work from home. Everybody, managers and everybody, can work from home.
Mm-hmm. Yep, me too. So, everybody in my company, I cry if I got to go in to do something because I have to sign off on something. But they told us 2020, stay home. Because it's almost 5,000 of us. So, no, you don't want us. And they keep running back down to Florida, and they want to come into the office, and they don't want to quarantine.
Right. Absolutely. And not to mention, they had just built that building. I think that building is only like maybe 3 or 4 years old, 2 or 3 years old. And they don't even know what they're going to do with it because they just built the building.
Wow.
And like, you know, it's just too dangerous. Like you said, Brother Donia, he done took it down without shooting an arrow. He didn't shoot one arrow. We didn't see one chariot. He done took this thing down, all the way down.
Didn't even have to raise his voice.
Man,
he just took it down. My daddy bad.
Yes, he is. Better say that again. He mean what he say, and he say what he mean. Jeez.
Ain't never lied.
They say my New York
daddy.
Is done for. They closed up all the shops. The shops are closing. Companies is closing. This is off the chain.
And you know they ain't had a Broadway show. They ain't had no productions or anything in New York. Ain't no money coming through there.
But guess what? Football season just started, and we was just talking about that. We was saying, well, where the fans going to be at? Malcolm said And they put pictures of themselves in the seats, and then they gonna have automated sounds for the crowd cheering and the yay and boo and
like a Nintendo game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I wonder if they had to refund all them people their money, because, you know, when they buy them season fans, buy their tickets 3 and 4 years in advance.
Yeah,
so I guess they
yeah.
had to refund all that money.
They had to. Had to. Hold on. Let me get Brother Yerushalayim on. Shalom, shalom, Brother Yerushalayim. Your mic is open. Please join into the conversation.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Boy, looking at this. There's a thing looking at this thing come to an end, ain't it?
Yes, it
is. I'm going to add something to this. These darn crafts and stuff are showing up more often, too.
So
they just saw some in South Carolina, some Caucasians. They stand out there in broad daylight, look like diamonds in the sky. They was just jumping up and down, screaming and stuff. I'm saying, okay. And the more they get out here with all this jumping on us and killing us, you think there's some common sense to hear somebody by now and say, we might need to check ourselves a little bit.
Right.
You know, all
Absolutely.
This violence and stuff. But they ain't even thinking about it.
Absolutely. No.
That's their white privilege. They think they think they could do what they want to do to us because they've been doing it for so long with his permission. But they think they did it on their own. But now their day is up. They got an answer.
It's crucial. It is critical. It is something I thought I would never see this day, you know, for it to come to an end like this. But when they start predicting that it's coming to an end, you know, that's off the chain.
Yep.
And it's so bad that guess what? I went to the pharmacy to get my blood pressure medicine. Now, you guys know how blood pressure medicine is very strategic. You got to find one that works. And once it works, you have to stay on it.
Right.
Well, when I went to get it, they gave me a whole new brand, a whole new color. I was like, no, I ain't going to be able to take that because I have a reaction from it. You know what the pharmacist told me? He said, for those people who are taking the brand that you're taking, we're having a rough time getting it because it came from China.
Came from China.
He said, so
yep.
Ain't that something? He said, so we have to go to a whole new distributor to try to get it. He said, now, I can give you one that doesn't have the dye and the color in it. He said, but that's about the best we're going to be able to do. I'm like, man.
Yep. That's right. The majority of our medicines come from China, or the components to make it come from China.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So if you are on medication, have your doctor give you change your prescriptions to a 90-day supply so you can at least get what they have and have what you need for a while. Because I'm telling you, it's getting ready to get interesting. I said it. Yeah, the pharmacist came to the window and told me, like, that's all we can do. We can't do nothing else.
Absolutely.
I was talking to my sister. I was talking to my sister about that. I say, see if you could get the 90-day prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I told her before it started hitting bad like it is now. She said she went to the doctor, and he said your insurance will only pay for 30 days at a time. He said, I could write you that prescription, but you're going to have to pay for it out your pocket.
Wow.
And she can't afford it. She can't afford it.
Wow.
And so how when you pay for it out your pocket? I said, go back and tell him that the dog jumped up on you when you were in the bathroom and you dropped a bottle in the toilet.
Right. Hold on, let me get to my, it's area code 702. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Let me pull over real quick. I was just trying to chime in. I'm driving and I'm wondering, why is this traffic so backed up? I'm in Las Vegas, Henderson, actually. And Trump is in town. You should see all these people with no masks and everything.
Yeah, girl.
Going to this Trump rally. Oh, my goodness. It's unbelievable the number of people that are going to this rally here. Oh, my goodness. And most of them do not have masks on. There are some that have masks on. I'm just thankful they didn't try to do anything to me. But, oh, my goodness. I don't know. A lot of people. And one other thing. Our skies here also were orange and red. It's beginning to burn off now. This week, we had the same thing as California. So that's all I wanted to say. I'm going back in time now.
Will you be all safe, right, sister?
Yes, please be safe.
Still do. Still do.
All right, shalom, shalom. Yeah, man. I mean, this is it right here. We got to do what we got to do now. I mean, it's ugly. It's gonna get ugly up in here. We've been telling, we told people before. They laughed at us in our face like it wasn't important until COVID hit. And when COVID hit, everybody started paying attention. You know, and don't be surprised if we go to digital currency, because we already have a coin shortage.
Yeah.
And there's notes up at Walmart and everywhere. We have a coin shortage, you know, and you guys could give us the exact change. I went to Kroger's and I was returning something, and the man told me, he said, I'll give you X amount of dollars back, but I'm going to have to put so much money on your Kroger Plus card. Mm-hmm. That way when you use it again, you'll have a credit. And it's like, wow.
And you know, it's not coming. Only that, I was at Walmart. And waiting in the line, I was getting ready to go through the self-service line. And she ran up there. She stopped everybody. She said, if you're planning on using cash, you can't go through here. You got to go through another register because this is credit card only.
Wow.
So several people walked away.
Wow.
I had
that's
the cash,
critical.
But I wasn't going to start that line all over again. And I had already been in it for 15 minutes.
I know it. I know what you're saying.
So my money ain't no good over there.
not in that line it wasn't.
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, you know, it's amping up.
Yeah, it is.
They
don't want you standing
up
in that line, holding it up, and then you get up there and the machine keeps shooting your money out. No, you go to one of the other registers.
Yep. Powerful stuff. It's just off the chain, the stuff that is happening now. It really is. It is off the chain of all the things that is going on right now. But it's the word
and
of God, and it's not going to come back void. It just won't, you know?
Hallelujah. You know, I wanted to tell everybody, if you used to using spices like those seasoning salts and stuff, the prices are shooting up. So learn how to make your own. All you need is get your garlic, your garlic powder, basil, oregano, and learn how to make your own seasoning salt. You don't have to put any kind of sugar or salt in there. You just blend your own. I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos, and they're teaching you how to make your own blends and just save you some of your empty, like your glass spaghetti jars and stuff. Save those, clean them out. And then just make your own blend, because money is getting tight. And I know we used to putting certain things in our food, but when you got a choice between getting you some vegetables or some meat or spending $5 on a little tiny bottle of Lord's seasoning salt, you better learn how to make your own.
Okay.
All praise be to God. It's time now to really put this stuff in action. You know, you all listened to us before. We was ahead of the curb. We did what we were supposed to do while everybody else thought it was going to turn around. If you don't have a freezer, invest in one. Start storing up on meat, because there's a shortage on meat. You're going to have to really start putting some things together so that we can, because he said Jacob was going to survive anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if you got family members in church.
Yeah,
and make sure they know what to do. Tell your family members that's going to them doggone churches what to do, you know, and all that, so they'll have what they need. I still got cases of water here in my house, and I'm going to go get me some more, because right now don't have a limit on it now, because everything done kind of subsided. So why it has subsided, go get what you need.
Yeah.
Because when it was, it got bad, you could only get two cases at a time.
Yes. You know, I was talking to my niece, and they're young, and I call my great nieces, my niece, and their parents. I was 14 when I came, my aunt. So we were more like brothers and sisters. But I was telling my niece's mother, because they're young and they used to find the fast food, she cooked spaghetti. She was getting ready to pay $7 for some garlic bread. I almost slapped her brains out. I told her, all you need is take you some whole garlic. crush
yep.
it in a bowl
and
blend
in
some
butter.
And
yes,
you
ma'am.
Got garlic salt. She starts screaming and said, nah. They didn't even know that.
Yeah,
she
absolutely.
Saved
that's
all that
is.
Money so she could go over and get an extra pack of chicken now.
Absolutely. That's all it is. You're absolutely right. And you can get one of them big loaves of bread that they use for a dollar sometimes. So you absolutely, I have done it before.
Yeah.
But I try to do everything as I can that's natural and make sure that my food is natural, you know, with what
mm-hmm.
I eat and everything. I try my best to do everything that way so that I can make sure that I'm as healthy as possible because this is getting ready to get interesting. That's all I can say.
Yeah, yeah.
All praise be to Yah that we're still working right now. Everybody on this line that has a job, save your money. Start
yes.
putting your money
yes.
up and get stuff you need so you can survive. You know,
yes.
and that's all
you
I
know,
can
I was,
say, you know.
Yeah, I was talking to my girlfriend. She wanted vanilla. She went and bought some vanilla extract, and that has the oil gland from the beaver.
Mm-hmm.
And I told
mm-hmm.
her, all you have to do is get you some vodka or water. Some people use water. I use vodka. Get you some vodka and vanilla beans, and you've made enough vanilla extract to last you for a year.
See,
you
I didn't know that.
Spending all that. Oh yeah, get you some
I didn't
vodka.
Know that.
Get you some vanilla beans. You're gonna have to get them off of the internet because if you go to Walmart, you're gonna pay like $10 from one vanilla bean. So try to get it online. It's gonna be very expensive, but still get it because it comes from like Sri Lanka and Madagascar. Get you some vanilla beans. Get you a bottle. Put your old vodka in that bottle. I like going to Jungle Gems. That's here in Ohio. I know y'all don't have it there. But because they got so many cheaper brands, get you some vodka, pour it on that those vanilla beans, keep them in a dark place, and then say 6 weeks, you got vanilla. If you want to make extracts, it's the same thing. Get some orange peels, lemon peels, lime peels. Make sure you don't put the pith in it. That's the white part. Mix it with vodka, and you got your own extract. Stop buying that garbage from the store.
See, listen, we are people with a wealth of information, and all it takes is just time. You just have to take time and do it the right way, and you'll have it from natural resources. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
It's time for our show to be over with. I have enjoyed everybody's response. Everybody has something to add. Don't forget, tonight at 8 o'clock, we're going to be on the conference call. The number is 319-527-9197. Again, 319-527-9197. And the access code is 256-039-POUND. 256-039-POUND. And we're going to... It's going to be the beginning convocation for the Day of Atonement. It's a day when we come together, we afflict our soul. We will be fasting from 8 o'clock tonight to 8 o'clock tomorrow night. If you can't do the whole time, do what you can do. If you have medication that you have to take, eat something. You know, don't go without eating if you have to take medication, but do something to afflict your soul within that period so we can and repent. And this is the time that we go before the Most High to repent for him and all that stuff. So just wanted to let you know. And before we leave, I'm going to give everybody a chance to say something to the Hebrew Israelite community. Area code 478, Brother Yerushalayim and your Sister Rachel, what would you like to say to everyone that's out there?
I just like to say to everybody, just hold on, stay prayed up, make sure you're storing up your food and water, because this is it. This
mm-hmm.
is the start.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Sister Couture.
Well, I just want to say to the families, for all those brothers and sisters who cannot keep the full fast, don't feel bad, because there are those of us who can keep it. And we will be standing in the breach for you, praying and fasting for you.
All right. And last and certainly not least, Brother Adonijah.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonijah. I just wanted to, everybody has said what I wanted to say. You understand? And they didn't, you know, it's all we have to do is try to stay as close to the Almighty as we possibly can. You understand? Give praise and honor and great glory to the Holy One of Israel, our God. You understand? And that's it. You understand? That's all we got. Hallelujah.
And my response to everybody is trust in Yah with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Shalom,
absolutely.
Shalom, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you tonight at 8 o'clock. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.